Welcome to Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We are so glad you decided to join us today. We know you're going to be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by this powerful sermon. And the title of our sermon today is, You Are Not Who You Used to Be. Last week we talked about how the enemy holds us hostage. And he duped Eve by getting into her mind. He does the same things to us. And when he gets into our mind, he then gives us his thoughts. And then we begin to think and talk his thoughts. They're not ours. Again, why would we say something, this marriage is never going to work? Why would we say this job is never going to come through? Why would we say I'm not going to be able to pay my bills? Why would we say why would we say those things? That's not God thinking. That's not God talk. That's the enemy putting his thoughts in our mind. Why would we ever speak those things? Because they're not from God. And so he tries to take our thoughts over, holds us hostage. But as believers, we're supposed to be what? Free. Completely free in every area of our life. Today is another powerful, powerful, powerful aspect of how we're supposed to walk liberated in complete freedom. We are not who we used to be. Who am I? Who am I? Different people answer that different ways. Am I who my dad was? Am I who my grandfather was? Am I who society says I am? Am I who the people around me say I am? Am I who my parents say I am? Am I who my friends say I am? As a believer in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it is very important for us to understand our identity, who we are, because we're not who we used to be. If anyone in here who's a believer in Christ, you're not who you used to be. One of the great mistakes is that we define ourselves by what we do for a living. A lot of people, that's who they think they are. Men do that a lot. And the bigger the business, the more the money, the more prestige, the more important he must be. So we don't find our identity in the way we make a living. That's just our vocation. It's just our job. That's what God uses to bring us in finances. That's not who we are. That's why pro football players, pro athletes have such a hard time when they're done with the sport. Their identity is in what they did, and they have a really hard time after the excitement and that of who they are is taken away. Some people go to great lengths to find the right identity. They'll even change the way they look. But if our identity is rooted in our performance, we will always misdefine ourselves. If it's rooted in our performance, even if you're considered successful, we will always misdefine ourselves. And people will try to put what they think performance standards are on us and try to define us. I've been held in, I know I've said this before to my own self, people have tried to hold me in a box. People will try to hold you in a box. They don't want you to get out and soar. They don't want you to find out the great things that God has for you. So they will try to hold you down, and they'll try to do that in the way they will come to you about your performance in life. This has an important spiritual component to it, because Satan knows that if he can keep us from finding our true identity as a believer, he can keep us ineffective in our kingdom work. We won't be as effective evangelists as we're supposed to be, or soul winners, if we don't really walk in the identity. We won't walk in full enjoyment, victory in our lives, peace. Because you can't be truly liberated if you don't know who you are in Christ. We need to know who we are in Christ. That's why for us as believers, knowing our spiritual identity, it's the master key to unlocking everything that God has for us. It's so vital to hear this today. That's why I'm starting to record these again. It's just vital for people to hear this. This is not another Sunday morning. This is the Holy Spirit showing you today who you are in Christ. Amen? So we must know who we are. And for us to understand that, we have to turn to God's Word today, because we're not concerned with who Satan thinks we are, who people think we are. We're concerned today with who God thinks we are. And we're not concerned about what others say. We're concerned about what God says. Who does God say we are? So let's begin by clarifying our identity. We are not, you are not who you used to be. Turn to 1 Peter 1, and we're going to read verse 3 down through verse 4. 1 Peter 1, we're going to start. I'm going to turn you to quite a few verses today. So you are not who you used to be. We're going to again go and let God show us who we are. Amen. Amen. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. If you're there, say, I got it. Okay. Blessed or blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy. Well, his mercy is great because he made a way for us to be saved. And his mercy is great because sinners are in a what? Desperate, pitiful, wretched condition. So his mercy is great. So who according to his great mercy has caused us, somebody say caused us, has caused us to be born again. That means born anew, a new nature. To a living hope, that's eternal life, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Had Jesus not rose from the dead, we'd have no hope. We'd have no chance for eternal life. Kept in heaven, or through the resurrection of Christ, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading. Kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This means our inheritance, our salvation, is unimpaired by time. If you're saved, you will be saved. It's reserved. The perfect tense in the Greek indicates that our inheritance has already been put in safekeeping. And it's continuing there. Somebody say, that's awesome. Look at verse 23. Drop down, same chapter, verse 23. He adds this. Says, you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. In other words, the spiritual life implanted by the Holy Spirit that produces your new birth is unfailing and permanent. So once that seed of the Spirit, once he comes in you as a born again believer, it's there. Amen? The Spirit lives in us. And it's imperishable. It says that is through the living and enduring Word of God. In other words, the Spirit uses the Word to produce life. It is the truth of the gospel that saves. And as I said last week, for anyone in here, it's not how eloquently you give the message out. It's that you give the right gospel. And when people hear the gospel, that's what saves. Amen? So Peter is writing about the new birth through this living and enduring Word of God by which a person dies to our old life and we are born again. I am not who I used to be. I had an old life, but I am born again. I am born again. Somebody says, Pastor, I know all this. Well, maybe you do, but you're going to get it again. Because I need to hear it again, and I surely think that you need to hear it again. Because it's our new birth that determines our identity. And it determines your eternal destiny. No birth, no new birth, no hope for eternity in heaven. Peter didn't say anything about what we do for a living there. He didn't say anything about how big your church is, how much money you got, or what kind of car you drive. Just whether you're born again or not. Much less what non-Christians can do to make themselves acceptable to God. It's really fundamental because it explains why even the best non-Christians are unacceptable to God. And we all know people that are great. They're wonderful people. We'd work next to them. We'd love to live next to them. But they don't know Christ. They're not in Christ. The Bible says that they're not acceptable to God because they have a birth defect. They may be great people. They may be given to charities. They may be, literally, I'd rather be around, I would have rather been around some unsaved people than saved people times. Amen? I've worked with saved people that I would rather not have ever been around them, but I've worked with unsaved people that were hard workers and really nice people, but they're unacceptable to God because they have a birth defect. They're all, like us, born with inherited sin. And we are separated from God by that. We're born in a lost condition, caught off from God and under His judgment. We have a birth defect that can never be solved by our performance. No matter how kind or charitable we are, what we need to be is born again, not good again, not better again. We need to be born again. The new birth radically changes our identity and places us in the family of God. Somebody say amen to that. You were a lost, wretched, pitiful, desperate sinner with no hope. The Bible says that no one seeks after God, no one. And unless the Holy Spirit did a work on you and regenerated your heart, you wouldn't be here right now. But because He did a work in your life, in your heart, you're born again. You're in the family of God. So our identity is determined by our birth. When it comes to our eternal destiny, God relates to us on our new birth, or our lack thereof. He said to Nicodemus that he would not see the kingdom of God unless he was born again. And the world wants us to believe that people are homosexual by birth, not by choice. But a homosexual who believes that has badly confused identity with performance. He thinks because of what he does, that's who he is. One of the biggest lies the devil has perpetuated on society is to convince these young people, or however old they are, it's sad, especially when they're in high school, that they're a homosexual. And that this thing that they are that by birth, that they were born that way. Who wants that? Satan wants that. Because once he locks them into their mindset that they were born that way, then why should I ever want to change? That's why you have so-called homosexual churches where they say they all love Jesus and they worship God just like we are doing here, and someone stands up and preaches the word. God birthed them that way. But they're not born that way. That's not their identity. Once he gets us thinking we're someone we're not, he's got us. Nobody's born a drug addict and no one's born a homosexual. Man, our identity, it's just who we are. I'm in the family of God. I'm born again. I'm Spirit of God that's imperishable, lives in me. It's not perishable. It's imperishable. It's enduring. I got saved at 1985, and I know that I got born again, and I've made some mistakes along the way like we all have, but I know that imperishable seed is in me. And He's keeping me until the day of my glorification. Amen? Amen. I believe that true saints will persevere to the end. Here are two verses that help to explain the essence of your identity as a Christian. Turn to 2 Peter 1:4. Two verses that help to explain the essence of our identity as a Christian. And one of these is they're all my favorite, but one of these is one of the ones I always wrote in autographs when everyone had asked me to sign a baseball bat. This is one of my main ones. First, let's look at 2 Peter 1:4. It's implied here, God. So God has granted to us His precious, everybody say precious. And my version says, and magnificent promises. Those are His promises of abundant and eternal life. So that by them you may become partakers, of the divine nature. Doesn't mean you're a little God. It means that you're all new creations. You are partaking of the divine nature. Somebody walked in here discouraged, wondering if God loves you or what's going on in your life. Listen to this. You are partaking of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. In other words, the believer escapes from the power of the rottenness of the world that was over them through their fallen and sinful nature. You've escaped that. So let me say, I've escaped it. You're partakers of the divine nature. Now turn over to one of my favorite verses in the world, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Apostle Paul is going to describe salvation this way. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We have become partakers of the divine nature through his magnificent promises of eternal life, of abundant life. They're precious and magnificent. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world, we've escaped it in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians 5:17, our second verse. So as Apostle Paul describes salvation this way, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Those two words are a magnificently profound statement of the inexhaustible significance of the believer's redemption. I hope you wrote that down, in Christ. This is a sermon and a message and a truth that believers need to get in them as deep, I think, as anything that's available to them, is to know they are in Christ and what it means to be in Christ. 27 years of my life, I was in sin. I came to Jesus as my Lord and Savior, placed my trust in Him, and I became in Christ. This is inexhaustibly significant that you are in Christ. Somebody should have said amen when I said that. You're in Christ. You're not who you used to be. Glory to God. It says He is a new creation. That is something that's created at a qualitatively new level of excellence. So no matter how you look at yourself now, when you became in Christ, a new creation, the quality of who you are is excellent. Do you see yourself that way? Sometimes we don't let ourselves see ourselves that way. Qualitatively, at a level of excellence. And I love this part. It says, old things have passed away. Amen. It means old value systems. Come on, somebody. Old priorities. Old beliefs. Old loves. That's not people, but old loves, things you love. Old plans are gone. Old things have passed away. Amen. Behold, behold, all things have become new. Amen. And the Greek grammar indicates it is a continuing thing. All things become, are becoming, have become, will constantly become new. You are new. And because you're new, you will always be new. No matter how old you get, no matter how decrepit you get, you're new. Amen? Whatever sags, doesn't matter. You're new. And you don't need to get plastic surgery to get there. You've been made new. You're in the family of God. You're born again. You have a new, can I say it again? You have a new nature. You're a new creation. That's so spoke to me when I got saved. Someone led me to that immediately after I become born again, and I thought, that is so awesome. I didn't even realize at that time what in Christ really meant, except I read it and I thought, that's great. Didn't understand the real significance of that, but to know that old things have passed away and I've been made a new creation. Because I used to think of how I used to be, cussed and bars and all that stuff, and I don't think you have to be involved in that to realize how awesome it is to be a new creation. Just knowing whether you grew up in a Christian home, you were lost and desperately wicked before God. The wrath of God was being held against you. Man, you're a new creation in Christ. Amen. You are not who you used to be. So therefore, when you were born again, God deposited within you a new nature that wasn't there before. And folks, that is the core of who you are. That is the core of who you are. I have a new nature. Peter called it the divine nature because it's the very life of God. I'm not a little God, but I have the very life of God living in me. Man, that's powerful. My nature, this new nature, is the core of who I am. Being a Tuttle isn't the core of who I am. That's my earthly last name. That's not who I am. I'm a new creation in Christ. I have a new nature. So if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior for eternal life, the very life of God is the very core of your new identity. Every one of you in here who are truly born again, the core of your life is your new identity. Not your job, not your, it's nothing. It's the core of who you are is your new identity in Christ. You're not who you used to be. And again, you don't have to. We were wretched and we were lost, desperately, pitifully lost, whether we were involved in the worldly things or not. Because we're all born sinners. In front of a God who hates sin. And He saved us. He saved you. He did not have to save anybody. You're a new creation in Christ. Wow. God placed His essence, which is His Spirit, at the center of your being. And I'm going to add this one, 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. He led me to this one later on in my sermon of preparation. Said, throw this in here. Let me read you 2 Corinthians 3, 17 through 18. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And I really searched out whether, man, it means Yahweh of the Old Testament is the same Lord who is saving people in a new covenant through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or liberty. And we all with, this is awesome, and you don't think you should be excited about your life? And it says, and we all with unveiled face. That means all of those who are part of the new covenant have nothing obstructing their view of the vision of Christ and His glory revealed in Scripture. Nothing. Unveiled face. Beholding the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image. That means as you gaze on Christ, you will transform into greater Christ-likeness. Why do you keep your eyes fixed on Christ? Because it says, because as you behold the glory of the Lord, you will be transformed into the same image. Our ultimate goal is to be like Christ, so we should continually gaze upon Him, focus on Him, and the Spirit will transform us more and more to be like Him. And one of the ways we do that is by being in the Word of God, because the Word is Christ. He is the Word. And it says we will be transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. You are not who you used to be because your identity is in your new birth. Amen. You see how this should bring us freedom? Yes. Yes. Do you see why we should be evangelizing? Because we want other people to have a new birth. This is not just for us to hoard it. Well, let me answer a question that some of you may be thinking, and maybe it was just me. Maybe it was just me to give it to you. We're new creations in Christ. The old life is gone. If my old life has passed away, why do I still want to do some of the same old things? Guess who else dealt with this? The Apostle Paul. Why do I, if I got this new nature, the divine nature, the very life of God. I'm a new creation. Why do I still want to do some of the same old things? Because we still live in bodies that are corrupted by sin. We still live in bodies that are corrupted by sin. The Bible says that there is nothing good in our flesh, the old life, which we will struggle against until we get to heaven. We will struggle with this until we get to heaven. But guess what? Every one of us have an ability to overcome it. We don't have to sin. We don't have to do that sin anymore. We have every means necessary for victory, and it's because we are not who we used to be. Let me read you this illustration. Suppose you, for the most of your life, had a heart condition. Your frail heart restricts your activities, and every morning at work, when the healthy employees take the stairs, you wait for the elevator. But then comes the transplant. A healthy heart is placed within you. After recovery, you return to work and encounter the flight of stairs. The same flight of stairs you earlier avoided. By habit, you start for the elevator. But then you remember you aren't the same person. You have a new heart. Within you dwells a new power, new life. Do you live like the old person or the new? Do you count yourself as having a new heart or old? You have a choice to make. You might say, I can't climb stairs, I'm too weak. Does your choice negate the presence of a new heart? Does it dismiss the work of the surgeon? No. Choosing the elevator would suggest only one fact. You haven't learned to trust your new power to believe you have a new life. Once you know who you are in Christ, nothing can stop you from living right. As long as we live under the tutelage of people that tell us who we are, we're never going to get there. It's always going to be this way. You're this way because of this. You're this way because of that person. You're this way because of that. Man. And as long as we listen to the thoughts of the enemy get in our mind, say, we're never going to be able to overcome that sin. You're never going to be able to get out of this. Yes, you are. You're a new creature in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Quit going to the elevator. Walk the stairs. It's time to walk the stairs today. Somebody say amen. And by the way, for anyone who's wondering, the divine nature within you cannot practice sin as a way of life. God's divine nature in you, you cannot. If you're practicing sin, continually sinning, continually in a place where the Bible calls it practicing sin, you're probably not saved. And practicing means you have no conviction about it. You just sin. People don't like to hear that. They don't want to be talked to like that. They don't want to go to churches sometimes where someone's that straightforward, but it's not the person, it's not me, it's the Word of God. Jesus said, if you don't do my... He said, I know you love me when you do my commandments. Amen, amen. And everybody wants to do the whole grace thing. Understand something. We get saved by faith, but there's works to our life. Our works prove our faith. So we're not the people who we used to be. Who are we? What's our biblical designation? Well, the Bible uses a lot of descriptive terms and titles for Christians. So let's look at one term and we'll look at one title that God uses for us. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. One of my favorite verses of all. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It contains a key term for understanding our spiritual identity that we will find in this. Are you all being blessed so far? Man, I am not who I used to be. Amen. Amen? I am not who I used to be. So let's look at this one term and look at a title. Galatians 2:20. Ooh, I love this verse. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. In other words, when a person trusts in Christ for salvation, he spiritually participates with the Lord in his crucifixion, but also his victory over sin and death. So I have been crucified. Say that. I have been crucified with Christ. It says, and it is no longer I who live. So I'm not living anymore. Brad Tuttle isn't living anymore. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. So Paul's saying, you point to yourself, say, me, I, you no longer live. You're a dead person. So what's our term? Nevertheless, here's our key term. You are a living dead person. You are dead. The old you is gone, but in Christ you are alive. The old you is dead. You are a new creation raised to newness of life. A living dead person. Now let's look at one of the most important titles God uses for us. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1. We'll read verse 2. And understand something. When Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, he didn't have a whole lot to commend them for. Does everybody realize that? So he's writing a letter to a church that really got spiritually dirty. And he had to really rebuke them for a lot of things. But even in all that, he says in 1 Corinthians 1, 2, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. Look at the next few words. Saints by calling. With all who in every place call the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Your title then is saint. The Roman Catholic Church wants to steal this and presuppose on so-called people who have been designated as saints because they were part of a thing. One of the reasons is because they were part of a miracle or they prayed for somebody and they got healed or whatever. But they determine them in sainthood. But understand something. Every one of you in this room, no matter what you think about yourself, if you're born again, you're a saint. You're a saint to God. That's your name. That's your title. I'm saint. I'm a saint. What does it mean to be a saint? It means you're a set apart one. Set apart. Set apart. Does your life look set apart? Are you living in your new identity, truly living set apart? Speaks of our relationship to Christ. We belong to him now. This is our new identity. I'm set apart. I'm not who I used to be. Is everybody getting that? You're dead. You're now alive in Christ because Christ lives in you. With a divine nature, the very life of God is living in you. You have a new identity. You're not the same old. Every young person here, if you're born again, you're not the people or the person your friends say you are. And especially when you break up with somebody and they call you names on the way out. That's not who you are. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. If you meet a bad breaker-upper and they're going to call you names and say things about you on the way out, that's not who you are. Think of all the parents that have talked down to their children. Said they're never going to make it. I mean, literally, there's kids. I worked in a psychiatric hospital where parents hated their children. Called them lose. I mean, literally, some of the things those little boys told me their parents said. That's why they're there. Because they react in society like a heathen, like an all-out crazy heathen because somebody convinced them they were an absolute waste of life. And I didn't know Jesus then. But wouldn't it have been awesome to walk into their rooms? I worked 8 to 8. I worked 8 at night to 8 in the morning. And wouldn't it have been awesome to walk in and sit on their beds when I heard them crying at night instead of just being able to go in there and go, it's going to be okay. Wouldn't it have been great to go, hey, let me tell you something. I used to be like that. But now I have a new identity. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creature in Christ. All about Jesus. Wouldn't it have been great to give them the gospel, see them get saved, and know now they could have a new identity? Yes. Man, 60 times in the New Testament we're called saints. Set apart ones. And that title should give us great hope for changing our actions. You're not just a patched up converted sinner. You are righteous in God's sight. When was the last time you heard somebody call a butterfly a converted caterpillar? They once were a caterpillar, but they took on a whole new character and a whole new name. They're now a butterfly. You used to be a caterpillar. Y'all nasty things. Now y'all are beautiful butterflies to God. Amen. You're a living dead person. You're a saint. You're not who you used to be. So let's get practical. Let's answer these questions. So what? What difference does it make that I'm a saint, a living dead person in Christ, a new nature, or that I'm a new creation? What difference does this make? Well, it makes a huge difference because Satan wants to dupe some people into believing that they're trapped into a particular behavior which they will never get out of. That's the way that God made them, so they need to know it's very, very important. It's a huge, hugely important understanding to know that you're not who you used to be. It makes a huge difference because the enemy wants you to live your entire life as a believer ineffective in your kingdom work. And your kingdom work is reaching lost sinners. It makes a huge difference because knowing your true identity gives you hope for change. Knowing your true identity gives you strength, confidence in God, and purpose. Some of us need to start living. Let's stop lying to ourselves and saying we're doing something because of this or that reason. Listen, man, we are new creations in Christ. You're a new creation in Christ. You're a new creature in Christ. Here's the thing. Satan needs to get us used to the fact that he needs to get used to the fact that we don't belong to him anymore. I have a new name. I'm a new creature. The divine life of God lives in me. The very essence of God lives in me. I have a new nature. The sin that used to tie me up doesn't have power over me any longer. Listen, the thing you're struggling with today has no right to claim you anymore. We're not who we used to be. So he doesn't have a right to control our lives anymore. Yeah. Somebody say amen. I'm not who I used to be. Somebody in here needs to start declaring to the devil that you're not who you used to be. Right. You are so loved by God, not because of what you've done, but because of who you are. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus said that the greatest love that a man can show for his friends is when he lays his life down for them. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You were purchased at a steep price, 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Always remember the second part. Don't cut that verse in half. Therefore, glorify God in your body. We have been justified and made right with God. Therefore, we have peace with God. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just peace, but you have peace with God. Where once you were at enmity with God, you were his enemy. You now have peace. We are clothed with righteousness. Romans 3:22. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Romans 5:17. For if by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man, that's Adam, right? How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? You are not who you used to be. you have an opportunity to reign in life, to live a life that is so far beyond what any of us are really living right now. You have family members, and you have workmates, and you have friends, or people that you're going to meet. We need to let them know they can have a new identity. We need to let them know about Jesus Christ, because we want them to have a new name like we do. Amen. Thank you for joining us at Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We pray this sermon blessed you, encouraged you, inspired you, and challenged you in your walk with Christ. Thank you for being with us, and come back and visit us anytime. God bless you.